For that river of life today. This next song, I could sing this song every week, but I don't. But it's called Every Giant Will Fall. And every time I sing it, I think of the heroes of the Bible, especially David, because this says exactly what happened in that story, is that giant just fell. I think of Joshua, when the walls fell. Just simple, ordinary guys that were called by God to do impossible things. And they just did it. It doesn't say that there was any doubt in David's mind. If anything, it said he was very arrogant almost about it. Like, who are you that you would stand up against my God? Like, who are you, this big guy, me, this little kid? I'm going to take you down. And Joshua, when asked to just walk up to the walls and walk around it for days and seven times and blow the horns, no questions asked, and he was told that the walls would fall, but he didn't see it right away, right? So I would love to think that I could live my life like that, amen? I hope that I could walk into my day and into the impossible things that I see. And we may never see that extreme of something in our lives or in our time, but there are moments in our life where there's impossible things in our way. And do we step into that and say, yep, God, you got this. I hope that we're that way. So let's proclaim this morning. Whatever you have in your life that seems impossible, allow God to just take that. know, when everything else in our life kind of fails us, or a love fails us, I always come back to the fact that one thing remains, his love. Amen? There's nothing like God's love. You can't compare it to anything else. It's always changing. There's some moments when I think I know his love, and then other moments he just surprises me with some sort of new thing. And I always want to feel like that as I'm walking my faith. But you guys know this song. Just proclaim this truth this morning, that love, your love never fails. It never gives up, never runs out. Your love is always there and remains forever.
Stronger than the power of the
As we prepare our hearts for communion, I just wanted to do this song this morning to remind us of the cross, what that really means to us. At the cross, I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. Nothing is greater than his love, his sacrifice for us, amen, so that we could be with him. So you guys remember this song, feel free to sing it out. When
Jesus gave us this discipline so that we would remember all that he has done. And I want to remind you again today that we aren't allowed in the presence of God with sin. Like, you got to get that. And the problem is you and I always fall short no matter how hard we try. That was the problem with the law, right? That it was just going to be death after death after death, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, because the blood that covered wasn't enough to sustain, because we kept making mistakes, right? And so Jesus came and he lived a life that you and I couldn't live, and he gave us a standard that we couldn't attain. And he said, you know what? I am going to die once and for all. My blood will flow. My body will be broken so that your body could be made whole. So that when God looks at you and me, he wouldn't see our shortcomings. He would see family. And then conquering the grave and sharing that victory with you. All of it is so beautiful. All of it is vital. And so maybe you've been involved in church, and communion is just kind of a ritual that you go through. It's just one of those things that you got to do because they do it all the time. No, I want you to understand today that without Christ and without his sacrifice, you and I would have been lost. We would have been dead. Eternity, we would have been dead. But because he took upon himself our cross and our punishment, because he didn't do anything wrong, he didn't deserve that, that his sacrifice now covers you and I, that we are not only promised eternity, but we can boldly go into the presence of God regardless of sin, because Jesus put sin to death. Amen? Don't miss it this morning, church. Don't miss the importance of this morning. So Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he gave thanks. And he said, each time you eat this, remember what I've done. Let's eat. And as we prepare our hearts for the juice, I want you to know that no matter what you've been through and no matter how long you've been on the journey, think of your history as we sing this song, because Jesus has never left your side. Amen. That even times when you were pushing him away, there he was. He was still by your side. And you know what? We praise him. We praise him for his presence. Let's sing. There was Jesus.
Every time I try to make it on, every time I try to stand and start to fall, all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. And the life I built came crashing.
same way, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, each time you drink of this, think of me. Let's drink together. Welcome to church. I'm glad that you guys are here. How many people are excited to be here? How many people were drugged here against your will and you really hate me? No, that's fair, right? There was times like so when I was young, I was made to go to church. It wasn't because God was my God. It's because I became attached to this ear. So this is the way my mom and dad work. This ear is going to church. Are you coming with it, right? And I just went to church, and there was a time, you know, when I all of a sudden started to say, this is making sense to me. And I studied world religions, and I tried to find loopholes, and I played all my cards and did all those things until finally I came to a place where I said, it not only makes sense, but it is everything to me. And so I love coming to church. You know what? If I'm away, I usually find a church to go to because it's just something beautiful about being with the family of God and seeing smiles and getting encouragement. It's a church where we make plans for the week to come and we get together and we watch playoff games and we have burgers and we do some of those things. So the church is a pretty important thing. And you know what? We're coming through a season. How many people are just glad to see this season change? Anybody? Like, I'm still seeing a lot of people that are working through COVID, and you know what? I totally get that, but we're seeing a season change. I get excited about the seasons that change, right? Like, I love it when the leaves change. I love it when we see that first snowfall, because we live in the Maritimes. It's pretty mild. You know that you're probably not going to have to shovel. I got really excited to see my rhubarb. Praise the Lord! She's coming up, and I get excited about rhubarb. I've got one bag of rhubarb left, right, for one crisp while I'm waiting for my rhubarb that's growing to get big enough, right? And I'm encouraging it. I went out and said hello to it this morning, and I'm not even joking, right? So those seasons are important. And I feel like on the spiritual level, guys, we're seeing seasons change, right? We've been through 2 years of being limited. We've been through 2 years of sometimes being shut down, sometimes coming to church, never knowing what's going to happen. But through it all, I am so excited that we've seen growth. We've seen people get excited again about the Word of God. We've seen people want to be at church when it's open and want to be at church when it's closed. And I'm saying, hold on, we don't need fines. Just everybody relax, right? Join us online. We've seen people really come together. Those who would miss a Sunday or if we were shut down, they would join the podcast because they didn't want to miss where we had been going. And I love this season that we're entering. It's a season of teachability. And so when I was saying, okay, where are we going? Over the next few weeks, I was kind of thinking about a four-part series, and I'd been praying about that. And everything that I had been working on, God kind of said, that's great, and that's wonderful, and that's truth, but Andrew, that's not for now. And I'm going, okay, Lord, but it's coming. Like, I got to get up, but I got to preach. You got to give me something. And I was working on another series, and then all of a sudden, I felt like that's not the right time for this. And I said, Lord, where are we going to go? So I got together with Kirtland. And he thought I was already going to have kind of an idea of where we're going over the next month. And I kind of said, I got nothing. And so we started to pray about it. And we started to talk about it. And then all of a sudden, I kept coming back to the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. And many of you will know the Sermon on the Mount, even if you don't know that you know it. You know when those famous speeches that have changed the world come about and you just recognize them? Like, you hear some words, and all of a sudden, it takes you to that place. It takes you to the reason for the speech. It takes you to that. You know, so here, I'll give you an example. If I was to say, I have a dream, you would know exactly who said that, right? Because it changed our world. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal. You know that's Martin Luther King Jr., right? It's a very famous speech. If I was to say this one, right? We shall fight in France. Does anybody know what that one is, right? We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight in growing confidence and in growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island. We shall fight on the beaches and we shall fight in the landing grounds. We shall fight in the field and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. You know who that is. It's Winston Churchill. That's a terrible, right? I love Winston Churchill. I love history, and he's one of my heroes. And I think, wow, God's man for God's day. And we're not all speaking German. Not that there's anything wrong with German, right? I have German roots. My great-grandparents left Germany and fled and escaped because they didn't agree with the war, right? And then half of my uncles in the second generation ended up fighting the very Germans that they fled because they were Canadians then. So it's kind of interesting. How about this one? Ask not what your country can do for you. You know who that is, even though I didn't have a very good Boston kind of accent there, right? That's JFK. But ask, what can I do for my country? Well, you know, when we talk about the famous speeches that changed the world, the Sermon on the Mount is one of those things. It's one of those famous speeches. So people around the world, if I say, and I started with the words, blessed are they, boom. As soon as I say that, people recognize it. Oh, yeah, this is that Bible thing, right? And that Bible thing is called the Beatitudes, but it's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is huge when it comes to these messages that change the world, right? And so let's put it in context. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. There's thousands following him at this moment. It's just begun, but there's still thousands that are coming out to hear him. Why? Well, they're coming out to hear him because Jesus spoke with power. Right? Jesus spoke with an authority that nobody had heard to that date, right? Jesus, and it was interesting because Jesus would teach in the synagogues, but Jesus was a preacher who would talk in the streets. He everywhere he was became this teaching moment, right? And people were going, who is this guy? Because this isn't where church is supposed to happen. Like, we're at the market, and church is breaking out. Who is this guy? Right? We're at a mountainside. Church is breaking out. Who is this guy? There's thousands of people following. So even if you didn't follow Jesus, even if you didn't know who he was, the very crowds that were surrounding him, you'd say, what's going on here today? Who's the celebrity? And they're going, it's this guy. He's a carpenter from Nazareth, but he's really good with words. Come. All right? And people were flocking to hear Jesus. And so this is kind of interesting. Why is it called the Sermon on the Mount? Well, if you go back to the original language, it states that it was a sermon that was given on a mountainside. Whoa. Right? Like, it's just that simple, right? And you're going to see why in just a minute, but I want to give you a little bit of chapter 4. Because the excitement is going on. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read what's happening. Verse 23 and following. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and the region across the Jordan were following him. So here is the setting. Think about this, okay? We have a guy who's not worried about temple. He's not worried about the synagogue. Now, he teaches there, but you know what? He also teaches in the streets, and he's drawing numbers that nobody has ever seen before. And people are bringing the sick, and Jesus is taking the time, and he's touching the sick, and he's touching the lame, and people are being healed. And people start bringing demons, and what? Right? Like, demons are leaving people. This is crazy. They had never seen anything like this before. And so people are hearing about this, and thousands are coming from all around the region. And so here he is. He's talking about life, right? People from all backgrounds, not just the elite. We have the broken coming. We have the disease coming. We have the religious coming. And everybody wants to hear this speaker. No matter where he is, he just seems to have church break out around him. And he's speaking with such authority and performing such miraculous signs that nobody can dismiss him. Right? Nobody can dismiss him. The crowds are just too big. And this is the interesting thing. You know what? He's not preaching to us. He's teaching us. Do you know there's a big difference between those two, right? Like, he's not preaching at us. He's teaching us. There's a big difference. For over 2,000 years, we keep coming back to this message of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's not about religion. Jesus was teaching about life, right? He gave some things that people had never heard to this date. He was talking about the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God?
He's saying that we can experience and live in the midst of the kingdom of God. What in the world is he talking about? And to make matters more incredible, the lives that he is touching are changing before people. Even the disease is fleeing the authority of this guy. This is new. So let's read. Sermon on the Mount starts in chapter 5. 1 and following, it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." So right out of the gate, you guys need to know we've been doing church wrong, because I'm the one who's supposed to be sitting down, and you guys are supposed to be standing, right? So that's, and as I get older, it just makes more sense to me, right? It's one of those things, but you think about this. Why was he on the mountain? Okay, he goes to the mountain, he sits down, and then he starts. Well, he's on the mountain because there's thousands of people, right? There's not a lot of buildings that are going to hold this crowd. So he goes to the mountainside, and he starts to walk up on the mountain, and every, you know, those who really want to hear, come on, get a little bit of a workout with me, you kind of follow me, and there's people that are crowding the mountain. What Jesus was doing is he was making an amphitheater out of the landscape. Right? He went up, he was speaking towards the people, they were fanned out, thousands of them could get closer to him because he was elevated a little higher than them, and so he starts to teach, and he says this, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Wow. Wow. You know what? This didn't sound like the law. Right? His audience had only heard about the do's and the don'ts and all the ways they were failing. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And they could never keep the list straight because it was just way too many rules. And religion kept telling them, the law kept telling them all the ways that they would fail. And now all of a sudden, here's this guy who's telling us that we're blessed. What is this blessing he's talking about? Like, we have never heard that in church. What is this blessing that Jesus is talking about? That sounded nothing like the religion they knew. And think of the list, right? So here's the list that he gives. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. What? You mean when I'm at the end of my rope, when I'm worn out, when I'm left for dead, when I'm laying there and I've got nothing left to give, when I'm poor in spirit, I'm blessed? I've never heard that before. Blessed are those who mourn. What? And the people in the crowd are going, yeah, I've been mourning for years. Nobody's ever wanted to talk about it. And this guy's telling me that I'm blessed and he wants to talk about it. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted, those who are insulted, those who have evil spoken against them. They're blessed. And the crowd is silent. What? He's telling us to rejoice when we're messed up. He's telling us that we're blessed when we've been forgotten. He's telling us that even though we have all of these messes, that our reward is great in heaven. And then he compares us to our heroes, the prophets. Are you kidding me? Who is this guy? Blessed? Right? He gives this list to the messed up and the forgotten, and he's telling them, you know what? Heaven sees what you're going through. And heaven will reward you. You're blessed. You're blessed. You see, Jesus' kingdom was very different than the religion that they had been taught, right? What Jesus is talking about is relatable, right? This list is for the broken, right? The poor in spirit. Wow. Yeah, I'm there, right? There's moments in life when I feel worn out and I'm tired and I just can't get anything right. You're telling me the kingdom of heaven is mine? Yeah, there's times we mourn. There's days that mourning comes upon us, even when we think that mourning was over. And all of a sudden, we're sad again, and we've experienced that. And you know what? When we mourn, heaven wants to comfort us. Blessed are the meek. What are you talking about? The meek are the ones that everybody else takes advantage of. And you're telling me that heaven wants us to be meek, and we're the ones who are going to inherit the earth? What are you talking about? You think of the religion that they had experienced. What was the religion they knew? The religion would take all of the time beating them down and showing them what they had done wrong, reminding them that they had fallen short. That was the religion, right? Have you ever heard that kind of religion? I bet you have. I know I have. Like, I've gone to church. There's nothing worse than going to church and leaving feeling like garbage. Why are we at church? We're at church because we already feel like garbage. Don't tell me I'm garbage, right? That is way more common than I am comfortable with. Like, I remember years when my brother was just walking on his own because he wasn't good enough for the church, and the church made that very clear to him. And I was going, what in the world are we doing? Like, I'm sitting there seeing this hypocrisy and saying, Jesus loves him. How come you people don't? Have you ever experienced that kind of religion? Let me ask you this. Don't answer. This is not a testimony time. Have you ever been that kind of religion? Does God call you to that? I'm listening. I think it's hilarious. That's awesome. How many praise the Lord that we've got kids in all our services? Oh, amen. That they feel welcome here. Are you kidding me? Because what I'm talking about here, there are churches even in our community, right, that children aren't welcome there. And that should break your heart. In verse 6, listen to this. Jesus tells him, if you're hungry and you're thirsty after righteousness, you're going to be filled. It doesn't say when you have it all together, you're going to be blessed. It says if you're just hungry for it, guess what? You will be filled. They had never heard about a kingdom like that before. They had never seen a kingdom like that before. Why? Because anything the church had told them, anything temple had told them, is that kingdom is always out of your reach. You can't be blessed. You're not good enough. And we're going to tell you why. So they would go and they would experience religion and they would leave feeling broken and a mess. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up who's talking about mercy. He's saying, if you give mercy, mercy will be given to you. Can it be that simple? That if we work at peace, then we're already doing God's work as his child. That if we're persecuted for doing right, you know, that they knew good guys can't finish first. Good guys will never win. Jesus is saying, good guys are doing kingdom work and heaven sees you. What? He's saying, if you're picked on today, God knows, God sees, and God wants to bless you. He loves your effort. Don't miss him. That's what this kingdom is about. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Now, there's where you go back to the original language, right? What does blessed mean? It's makarios. That's what the original word is, makarios. What does makarios mean? It means that you are blessed, that you are made to be happy and be filled with joy, that your life should be fulfilling. Makarios. Isn't that beautiful? That you were made, catch this, church, you were made to be fulfilled. You were made for happiness and you were made for joy. And the blessings of the kingdom of God are waiting for you each day. Think about that, right? I can't help but think about John 10:10. And again, I use this verse all the time, but it gives the contrast, right? What does Satan want? It says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes, we experience that. So many times in our life, right? Like, it seems like everything we touch turns to mud and things get broken and relationships fail. And you say, okay, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you could have life to its fullest, makarios, that you could live a full, happy, joyful, blessed life. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? We have never heard about a kingdom like this before in all of our religious teaching. And you know what? Jesus is saying, yes, faith is not an easy road, but it comes with blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Hold on, you're blessed. What in the world is he saying? He's saying, yes, life is hard at times, but you can be happy and fulfilled and feel joy if you would only take hold of the kingdom of God that awaits you. And they're saying, how come nobody has ever told us this before? Faith can enhance our journey? What are you faith can light our path? What are you talking about? Faith can hold us in peril? What are you talking about? The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, this is his manifesto. He's explaining to them a kingdom that they had never heard before because temple had never shared it with them. No one has ever called them God's children. God's children. And they're thinking, like, there's kids running around. They're going, I love my kids. I would do anything for my kids. I would die for my kids. Little did they know, right, that the guy talking to them loved them in that kind of a way and would prove it on the cross, the Sermon on the Mount. So here's some facts. Think about this. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses the word Father more in this sermon than the word Father is used in the entirety of the Old Testament. Think about that. The whole Old Testament, Jesus uses the word Father in this one sermon more than the Father is mentioned in the entire Old Testament. This idea that we could be God's children. What? That God was a loving father. These were new ideas. That God longs for us to be part of his family. Are you kidding me? And they would see very quickly, and we're going to see very quickly, that Jesus took on the establishment of religion. Right? In the Sermon on the Mount, right? He uses the word hypocrite in this sermon more than the entire Bible combined. Right, this one message, he uses the word hypocrite. And he, you know what, Matthew mentions the Sadducees more than any of the other Gospels. Jesus was going to war with the establishment, and it's because you and I were on his mind. Think about that. A teaching that was brand new, very different. Jesus would take on all the legalism for you and I. You know what, I want you to get this. You need to hear me. I'm not overstressing this. This is the most important sermon you're ever going to hear. Not the one that I'm preaching, unfortunately. The one that we're going to dive into that Jesus preached. That's the most important sermon that you will ever hear because it's the sermon that brings the kingdom of God to you and shows you the passion that God has for you. It's incredible. I remember this. I started crying real bad first service. I'm not going to try to do that today. I do have Kleenexes on reserve. If I forget about them, they'll be in the washing machine. Allison will be mad at me. It'll be okay. You guys have heard about him before. His name is Burt Montgomery. Oh, stop it. You guys have heard about Burt before. Burt was my very first Sunday school teacher, and he stayed with me all of my life. He just kept getting into older groups as I got older, and he was always loving on me. Bert was the first guy that I knew talked with God and heard God. Like, I don't know if you've ever known anybody who could do that, but it freaks you out, right? Like, he would be praying in Sunday school class, and everybody else wouldn't be paying attention necessarily because we were teen boys and stuff like that, but I'd be watching Bert, and Bert would be praying, and all of a sudden, he would just stop mid-sentence, and he'd go, okay. And God was checking him on something. Like, I'm not going to say that. I'll go here. And I was going, holy cow, who is he listening to? Like, it was so eerie to me, and it was so fantastical. Bert was the guy. Remember me talking about our Sunday school picnic that we did in the wintertime? And us teen boys, we built on this massive hill that we were tobogganing on. We built this great big ice jump at the end. And everybody was scared to go down it. Like, we were all scared to go down it. You got to remember, Bert has been old my whole life, right? And so we're sitting there, we're going, you go first. No, you go first. You go first. Bert came along. He grabbed our toboggan. He said, you big sissies. And he just jumped and went down the hill. And he hit the ice slide. And we thought he was dead. He came down in four pieces. It was like, ah, Bert. We went running down. Bert has been such a beautiful part of my life. He died when these stupid regulations wouldn't let me travel. So I didn't get there. I remember him saying this to me. He said, Andrew, he said, you need to know this. He said, if you ever feel lost in life, he said, you need to go to Matthew 5, 6, and 7 so you can find your way again. Andrew, if you ever find yourself lost in life, you just open the Bible to Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and you can find your way again. He told me, he said, Andrew, this is your compass for life. This is your compass for life. And I never forgot that. Like, so here's the importance of what we're going to do over the next few weeks. Jesus clarifies the law of Moses, and he brings freedom to you. Are you ready for that? I hope that you're ready for that. Like, this phrase is going to come up a lot, where Jesus says, you have heard it said, and then he'll give a part of the law. But then he goes, but I tell you, and he speaks with authority. You see, this is the most important sermon that has ever been preached. And Jesus brings the Old Testament to life, and he shows his listeners, he wants to show us how it can impact our day to day. That his word should impact your day to day. Blessed are you. And that's where I want to start this morning, because you have to receive that. You have to understand that. You have to believe that. I want you to chase that down with me right now. Blessed are you. Do you understand that today? Because you need to be ready for the blessings. If you're not ready for the blessings, then you won't receive the blessings. So let me ask you, do you want blessings in your life? I hope you do. I hope that you want to receive the blessings that God has waiting for you. But the problem is this, is that too many times in the church, religion gets in the way of the kingdom of God. And before you know it, we've let poor teaching, bad theology, things from our past to hold us from receiving the blessings of God. You know, the thing that keeps the blessings out of reach too often is the church. And you've been hurt in the church. If you've been around the church any length of time, you've been hurt. And if you're new to the church, I'm sorry, but we're going to hurt you. Not because we mean to. It's just because imperfect people do imperfect things, and sometimes we're insensitive, and many times we're selfish. That's not the way Jesus taught us to live. That's why we need to receive his blessings and let his truth be our foundation, church. Because there's many in this room, you know what? The church has left you broken, and that's not what the church is called to do. There's many in this room where the church has let you down, and that's not what the church is called to do. There's many of you in this place, you know what, when you needed the church moved on without you. They condemned you, they criticized you, and that's not what the church is called to do. And it makes me sad that that's been so many of our experiences, but here's the truth of that. That's happened to me. You know when I found freedom for that? You know when I found the blessings of God again? When I finally let go of the pain. Because here's the truth. You can't receive the blessings of God if you are gripping the pain of the past. So if you're looking for an apology, I'll apologize. Even if I didn't cause it, I apologize on behalf of the church. Let it go. Because when we hold those hurts, they keep us from the blessings that God has waiting. And are you wanting the blessings? I hope so. Then you need to seek the blessings and let go of the pain. And when we do, the blessings fill and fill and fall and fall and saturate and change and challenge and make you new. Do you want that? You know, the next few weeks we're going to be talking about this idea of Mercarius, that God came to bless you. He came to fill you with joy, to make you happy, to fill you with those blessings. Do you want to embrace that? I hope you do. But you got to let go. We're going to try to break down some of the poor theology that maybe you've allowed be part of your foundation, and we're going to kick those foundations down so that you can build upon the rock himself. We're going to start digging at some of the things that have taken root that never should have taken root in your life, because Jesus gets real, like the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be challenged. Every one of us are going to be challenged to dig up some of the gross fruit in your life, some of the things that never were meant to be part of his kingdom, never meant to be part of his church. We're going to have to dig those roots out and make sure that those plants are dead, because we're supposed to be connected to the vine, and the things that come from us are supposed to be beautiful. They're not supposed to be hurtful. Are you ready for that? Let's do this. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. Church, there's some right here in this room or listening online. And you know what? You cannot escape this idea, this feeling that you're cursed. Right? Why does everything I touch turn out bad? Why does every relationship, do I push them away? Why do I always get angry and make mistakes? Why in the world does my mouth always go into gear before my brain? And you're going to feel cursed right now. You feel cursed because the blessing is beyond you. You need to know, church, today that God's blessing awaits you. Maybe you're here or you're listening online, you say, you know what, I've been so hurt by religion. I've been so hurt by the church. Well, you know what, your hands are gripping the pain so tight that there's no way you can even experience and catch the blessings of God. Would you be willing to let go of the past right now? Would you be willing to do that? More curious. Life to its full, a joy, a blessing awaits you. If you would only seek it, you could receive it. If you'd only let it break down the poor foundations, you would build for yourself a spiritual fortress that God indwells, that your fruit, you would be known for the greatest of fruit, because all of a sudden you'd start to look like Jesus. The gross stuff would dry up, it would be gone. Are you ready for that? I hope you are. Let's do this. If any of that, if you're holding on to any of the pain, if you are feeling cursed today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to hold your hands out in front of you. You don't have to make a big deal. This doesn't have to be up high, just even on your lap. Hold your hands out in front of you. Make a fist in front of you. I want you to get this. I want you to see this in the spiritual light. I want you to open your hand and let it go. I want you to let go of the people who hurt you. I want you to let go the churches that abused you. I want you to let go all of the times that religion let you down. I want you to know that you are not cursed. You may be going through a season and it may be hard, but you are not cursed. I want you to know today that you were made to be blessed. You were made to be blessed. You were made to be filled. You were made to be joyful. Oh, receive it today. Receive it today. Blessed are you, church. Blessed are you, church. Blessed are your marriages if you'd only receive it. Blessed are your families if you'd only receive it. Blessed is your work if you'd only receive it. Blessed is your play if you'd only receive it. Blessed can be your home if you'd only receive it. Blessed would be our community if you'd only receive it, church. Oh, seek it with me over the weeks that are ahead, and let it begin today. Let it begin today. Mercarius. You were made to be happy and joy filled. That's what God's plan is for you. That he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when your strength is gone and you feel all used up, you could still be blessed, because he promises never to leave your side and to always give you enough, always give you enough. His grace will always be sufficient. He knows the way home. He is the way home, and he longs for you to experience it all. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. That's where we're heading. Don't miss it. Let it start today. Blessed are you. Let's pray. Lord, I'm excited about this season. I'm excited about what you have in store for us. I'm excited about the zeal that seems to be growing in this place, Lord. I'm excited when I see people's faith that is activated, Lord, when I see people forgiving, when I see people being transformed. I'm so excited about the season that we're in. And Father God, I pray that we wouldn't miss it. I come against pain in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against ego and pride in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and I pray that we would be found wanting all of you, wanting more of you, seeking this blessing that you have promised us, Lord. Maybe we're not used to hearing that. Maybe we're not used to experiencing that, but all of it awaits for us. Well, Father God, I pray that we would have our hands wide open to receive all that you would have for us in the days that are ahead. There is healing that lies ahead. There is restoration that lies ahead. There is holiness that lies ahead. All of these beautiful gifts are waiting. Lord, thank you for your love. Would we receive it? We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, I hope you're excited. I am. God bless you and let him go before you. Let him go before you.